When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild nations, to bring peace among all people, to make music in the heart. Welcome. Welcome on this beautiful evening. May you bring your light and your sincere heart to this service. And may we open together and sing joyfully, Joy to the World, number 245 in our hymnal.
We were going to, can you hear me? We were going to read you some of Dylan Thomas's A Child's Christmas in Wales, because that was something that we read to our own family on Christmas Eve, and we thought you might enjoy some of it too. One Christmas was so like another in those years around the sea town corner now, and out of all sound, except the distant speaking of the voices I sometimes hear a moment before I go to sleep, that I can never remember whether it snowed for 6 days and six nights when I was 12, or whether it snowed for 12 days and 12 nights when I was six. All the Christmases rolled down toward the two-tongued sea like a cold and headlong moon bundling down the sky that was our street, and they stop at the rim of the ice-edged, fish-freezing waves, and I plunge my hands into the snow and bring out whatever I can find. In goes my hand into that wool-white, bell-tongued ball of holidays, resting at the rim of the carol-singing sea, And out comes memories of years and years.
And years ago, when I was a boy, when there were wolves in Wales and birds the color of red flannel petticoats whisked past the heart-shaped hills, when we sang and wallowed all night and day in caves that smelt like Sunday in damp front farmhouse parlors, and we chased with the jawbones of deacons the English and the bears, before the motor car, before the wheel, before the Duchess-faced horse, when we rode daft and happy hills bareback, it snowed and it snowed. But here, a small boy says, it snowed last year too. I made a snowman, and my brother knocked it down, and I knocked my brother down, and then we had tea. But that was not the same snow, I say. Our snow was not only shaken from whitewash buckets down the sky. It came shawling out of the ground and swam and drifted out of the arms and hands and bodies of the trees. Snow grew overnight on the roofs of the houses like a pure and grandfather moss. Minutely white ivied the walls and settled on the postman opening the gate, like a dumb, numb thunderstorm of white, torn Christmas cards.
And I remember we went caroling once when there was no moon, just the shaving of a moon to light the flying streets. We stumbled up the darkness of the drive, each one of us afraid, and all of us too brave to say a word. The wind through the trees made noises as of old and unpleasant men wheezing in caves. What shall we give them? Hark the herald? No, Jack said. Good King Wenceslas, I'll count three. One, two, three. And we began to sing, our voices high and seemingly distant in the snow felted darkness. Round the house that was occupied by nobody we knew, we stood close together near the dark door. Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen. And then a small, dry voice, like the voice of someone who had not spoken for a long time, joined our singing from the other side of the door. And when we stopped running, we were outside our own house. The front room was lovely. Everything was good again and shone over the town.
Always on Christmas night, there was music. An uncle played the fiddle. A cousin sang Cherry Ripe. Another uncle sang Drake's Drum. And then everybody laughed. It was very warm in the little house. And then I went to bed. Looking through my bedroom window, out into the moonlight, unending smoke-colored snow, I could see the lights in all the windows of all the other houses on our hill, and hear the music rising from them up the long, steadily falling night. I turned the gas down. I got into bed. I said some words to the close and holy darkness, and then I slept.
Marilyn, in her kindness, has informed me that the version of O Little Town of Bethlehem that is on page 246 is more singable. So let's go to page 246 and stand and let us sing O Little Town of Bethlehem.
As children, we often think adults get to do whatever they want, that it's only children that get ordered around and told what to do. The story of Jesus' birth reminds us that isn't always true, that adults get ordered around at the worst possible times. Perhaps some of you have been ordered around lately, told to take off your shoes and empty your pockets, keep your electronic devices off and your seat belts fastened. Most of us get ordered around from time to time by forces bigger and more powerful than we are, just like that young couple, Mary and Joseph, 2,000 years ago. Tonight, we're part of a force that's so much larger than we are. Gathered at the end of a long period of waiting, the waiting that Christians across the world call Advent, waiting to celebrate the birth of a child far from home. Joseph and Mary had been waiting months for their firstborn child, a marginalized Jewish couple on the far reaches of the most powerful empire of their day. They were ordered to travel when today women would be told not to get on an airplane at all. Maybe some of you have traveled a long way to get here this holiday season. You know how hard it is to travel even with all our modern conveniences, airplanes and cars that scatter us across the countryside in a day or less. Mary and Joseph probably walked most of the way. Maybe, if they were lucky, Mary had a donkey. They might have had more leg room than most of our modern flights, but even the finest animal in all of Galilee, which this poor, poor family surely did not have, would have left a lot to be desired. They'd been ordered to travel at the worst possible time, and they didn't have any choice. So they traveled and waited for Jesus to be born. This pregnant mother-to-be, this father who was undoubtedly worried for his wife and child, they would have seemed like a very surprising family for anyone to remember a generation after they lived. But instead, we keep telling their story, our story, that miracles come of the most unlikely circumstances. Tonight, we celebrate the miracle and the mystery of new life coming into the world, even in the most unexpected and unusual places. Even when we know what's coming, even when we know the light returns again after the time of increasing darkness, we gather and celebrate the joy to come. Tonight, we join with millions of others who will recite and hear the words from the second chapter of Luke. And as we do, I invite you to place yourselves with Mary and Joseph in their shoes, traveling back in time to Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago, as we join this young couple on the verge of an event that changed not only their lives, but ours forever. Far from home, no room at the inn, just hoping for a healthy, happy baby. And then, like so many things that start out small, the miracles keep growing. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all that they heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
We know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But who do we recall?
The most famous reindeer of all.
Rudolph!
Yeah, but Rudolph's beginning was not so great.
He wasn't very popular at all.
He was youngest like you.
And small like you.
And he had a super bright red nose. Not like you.
All his friends laughed at him and called him names.
They made fun of him and never let him play with the others.
He was pretty sad and alone.
Those reindeer are not very nice.
I know.
But luckily, that's not the end of the story.
Santa didn't see his nose as too bright or too red or too shiny.
And he helped Rudolph see that his nose was actually something really, really good.
One foggy Christmas Eve, Santa asked Rudolph to lead his sleigh, and Rudolph said yes.
That year, and every year since, kids have been able to get their presents on Christmas morning because of him.
His nose saved the day.
Now, Rudolph could have said no to Santa when Santa asked him to lead his sleigh that night.
He could have run away or hidden because he was embarrassed or ashamed.
But he didn't. He allowed his extra special feature to shine.
He made something that made him feel bad and lonely into a gift. And that is why Rudolph is so famous. All of us sitting here tonight probably have something about ourselves we don't love. A part of our body, our personality, or some of our background. But who knows what great use it could be put to in the future. Our worst feature could actually turn out to be our best if we allow it to. Let's use Rudolph as our guide. Let's dedicate ourselves to making every part of ourselves shine. Then maybe we too can go down in history. Now the whole congregation is going to sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Hello. So a year ago on this night, I brought my daughter Sloane home from the hospital. She got to meet Owen that night and got to get introduced to our home. She had been born the day before. There were no shepherds or wise men there. And actually almost no doctor. I left the house at 5:30 in the morning. My water broke in the parking lot at 5:40, and she was born at 6 a.m. It was a speedy delivery. She was a girl with a purpose, full of resolve and strength. So we named her Sloane, which means warrior. Pregnancy is all about anticipation. What's the gender going to be? Who is this little person going to be like? Is she going to have brown eyes or blue eyes? Is she going to play soccer? Is she... all sorts of moments of anticipation. At birth, starting at birth, you get to know your child. You get to know their features, their smile, their personality. When I had Owen, first child, I had this image that he was going to be a clone of either Sam or me, exactly like us, act exactly like us, like a little mini me, an exact replica. And I soon learned from Owen, and that has been reaffirmed by Sloane, that children are unique individuals, that they are totally their own people, they have their own personality and their own way of viewing the world. And that is what I have learned is the joy of parenthood. It's the joy of discovery, the joy of learning about them, and the joy of pure wonder. So, Merry Christmas, everyone. of the kids please come forward now for the children's story?
Can everyone hear this? You can hear it. Toys are nestled, tree lights glow. I didn't tell you the story, didn't I? Santa's stuck. Yes. Toys are nestled, tree lights glow. Stockings stuffed, marched in a row. Santa sighs, it's time to go. Gathers up his giant sack, spies a note in Christmas snack. Boys and girls have been so kind, they left sweets for him to find. His suit feels rather snug. Santa shrugs, a jolly shrug. One more cookie couldn't hurt. This last snack will be dessert. Santa rests his weary feet, munches on a scrumptious treat. Nibble, nibble, tasty crumbs. Lick the frosting from his thumbs, smacks his lips on fruitcake too, wolfs the whole thing, chomp, chomp, chew. Chocolate fudge his, he sneaks a piece, can't resist, he's had a feast. Belly bulges, Santa stops, uh-oh, look, a button pops. Restless reindeer, cold wind blows up the chimney, Santa goes. Is there something wrong with you? Little ones tucked in their beds, candy cane dreams in their heads. Slumber on, don't hear a peep, but dog bolts upright from his sleep. Bravely pit-pats down the stairs, sees boots kicking in the air. Stop doing that. Santa whispers, I'm stuck tight. Dog helps push with all his might. No luck, Santa's stuck. Meanwhile, reindeer heed the plea, form a chain, and pull on three. One, two, three! Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen, Rudolph, too. They all heave ho as one narg pushes down below. No luck, Santa's stuck. Mama cat wakes from her nap, hears a help and rap, tap, tap. Calls her kittens one through six. One, two, three, four, five, six. Meow! Reindeer, dog, kittens, cat, pull like this, push like that. No luck, Santa's stuck. Ho, 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 a tiny mouse stirs inside his tiny house. Scampers out to lend a hand. Santa gives the go command. Push, pull, push, pull. Push, pop! He's using the toy bulldozer. Toy bulldozer. Pretty strong. Whoosh! Fly by the seat of your pants. Santa's out, a silent cheer. Reindeer harness up their gear. Back inside his Christmas sleigh. Santa shouts, now dash away. he waves and soars from sight. Merry Christmas and good night.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. In Bethlehem in Israel this blessed babe was born, and laid within a manger upon this blessed morn. The which his mother Mary did nothing take in scorn. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our heavenly Father a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. How that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Fear not then, said the angel, let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior, a poor virgin bride, to free all those who trust in him from Satan's power and might. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Tonight we are collecting for the Manhattan Arts Center so we can support the arts and all of the joy that they bring.
The need for purity in the heart. It seems that so much goes on in our lives where our heart has so many filters, so many things that get in front of that sincere impulse that stops and something surrenders and you yield. So think, as I did today, of a stable. I was cleaning out the chicken coop, a perfect day for cleaning out the chicken coop. All that dust rising up, and chickens don't know anything about bathrooms. Every place is their bathroom, so every place has got that kind of thing going on. So think of this manger, think of this stable, think of this place where the chickens and the sheep and maybe the cattle. And then there's this inn filled with boisterous people drinking holiday cheer, probably not holiday cheer back then, but today we're kind of reimagining, re-envisioning, and morphing, bringing everything together in a wild way, a way that lets us enter into the story, lets us see ourselves as Mary, as Joseph, as Jesus. How do we do that in this complex time of so many gadgets, so many things, so much to do, blah, 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 blah. We all have that feeling, right? Even as kids, we got a lot to do, right? Yeah, right? Always something on that game thing, right? But think of a time when there was just hay and animals, and there was this inn filled with people, just filled with people. And there was a place in that inn. Let's imagine that. Let's imagine that there was a room for Mary and Joseph, this pregnant mother, like Corey, ready just to burst, to give forth, right? Just imagine that there was a place in that boisterous, lively, fun-filled place. But they chose someplace humble, someplace we would consider low, unworthy, dirty, messy, stinky. Have you ever been in a stable? It stinks. I mean, it's not bad stink, but it stinks, right? And you got to watch where you walk, right? And everything needs to be fed and cleaned and taken care of. It's not like, you know, you have a waitress coming and saying, oh, would you, I'll give you a serviette. Oh, would you like a glass of, no. This is simple. It's brought to the most primal place. A primal place. A place where there's just a mother, father. And what is this manger? Is it a feed trough they put hay in? Some fresh hay that may be outside or in the loft, they place it on there because they want their baby born on fresh hay. Have you smelled fresh prairie hay? It just is so filled with all of life, all the cycles, the thousands and millions and billions of years that it took to make this place that we live in, that hay rising and being cut and being placed in a place in a manger. Not in the inn where there is room. There probably was room. But the metaphor is one of going to that place where no one else wants to go, where anybody could go. The street person, right? The person who is nowhere when the shepherds are around, nowhere when the innkeeper says, hey, come on in, give me your money, when the lost need a place, isn't this the place we go? Someplace safe from all that noise, all that din, all that stuff that tells us something other than what is real, that something other than what is in the moment, what will bring us into a place of absolute innocence. I remember 32 years ago, my cousin Patty, she was my double cousin, twins, married brothers, she was a year younger than I. I was in Chicago visiting on my way to live in San Francisco. Whoa, a new life, a new place. But I had to go back to where I had spent many Christmases. And while I was there, my cousin found out that she was pregnant, and her husband said, "If you have this child, I will divorce you." And she said, "I will have this child." She had no money. Her parents were just hapless people. Bless them, but hapless. They couldn't hold a dime if you glued it to their palm. You know, that's the kind of people they were. They have it, you spend it. They couldn't help her. So I said, "Okay, I'll stay." So I slept on the couch and got a job at an Italian restaurant on Wacker Drive in Chicago, a great place, made great money, 12 hours a week, and I could help my cousin Patty. And then on the day before Thanksgiving, her water broke and the baby was born 2.5 months early, and spent this little life, this little baby, in this glass box with tubes and things sticking out everywhere from him. "Giorgio, Giorgio, where are you?" In this mass of tubes. And every day we'd go to the hospital and watch this little baby gasp, try to find a way to make it into this world. My grandmother was so angry that she had that child. She has no right to have that baby. She has no money. She came from the old country. It was not easy to have a baby on your own. If you did that in Sweden in the 19th century, you were cast out. She was no support to this grandchild, no support to her great-grandchild. She was on her own, except for me. I don't know how much help I was, but I did help pay the rent. I did take her to the hospital when she needed to see that baby. And on Christmas Eve, that baby came home. A little bigger. He could breathe on his own. He could suckle. It was on a dingy apartment in Chicago. All she could afford. I slept on a couch. They slept in a little side room. And it's the only time I can think of a baby crying that filled me with joy. Just absolute joy. Here is a miracle. This kid has made it into the world. The mother, who got severe diabetes as a result of carrying this child, died at 45. But she brought this kid into the world, and he's getting married next year. He has his own business. He went to college. He knew he was loved. So where are those moments in our lives when everything falls apart, everything goes to the side, and every bit of stuff that stops us from being present to the miracle, to that innocence, to that place where everything just comes forward and it comes back, and it's just this place of being, absolute being. Just a beautiful thing. The miracle of the baby. How do we do that in our everyday life? That's the gift of Christmas. It asks us to do that. To find that innocence, that place where we can help the lost, help the broken, feed the hungry, bring peace to a broken world, bring peace to a heart that breaks when it sees so much go wrong, and to remember joy, to remember that miracle of birth that we all have experienced. And not to get laden down by all that doesn't work, but to be lifted up by what does work, by what does say yes to this great life. With all its attendant problems, there are still chicken coops, There are still hens laying eggs. There are still geese flying in the sky and kids waiting to get home and out of here so that they can open their presents. So let us celebrate. Thank you, everyone, for coming tonight. And let us bring peace. And let us make music in the heart. And the way we would like to do this tonight is to put on your coats. Jennifer is going to lead us outdoors, and there will be candles waiting for you at the door. And let us share the light. And then when the moment's right and all the candles are lit, let us sing Silent Night, Holy Night.